Hello, and welcome to the She Flourishes podcast, a weekly soul-stirring conversation that lifts you out of the funk and into the flourishing life so you can live life as the best version of you. I'm your host, Brenda Jasmine. For the past 11 years, I've been coaching women and leading personal development workshops as a speaker and mindset coach. She Flourishes is an extension of those workshops and conversations and is designed to help you create the flourishing life that you were meant to live. Let's get started. Hello there. So here we are, the beginning of December. And I don't know about you, but I feel like the holiday frenzy or holiday hustle and bustle, whatever you want to call it, has begun. And I thought this would be a perfect time to talk about the holidays and just to find out. So first of all, how are you feeling about the holidays? Are you excited? Are you dreading them? Maybe a combination of both. The thing is that as much as the holiday season can be really wonderful and we can have all sorts of positive emotion and have joy and celebration and connection, we can also have some pretty low lows, right? Where we can maybe miss someone who has passed on or feel a sadness about the way maybe Christmas used to be or the holidays, whatever holiday you celebrate, the way it used to be. And it can actually be really draining and depleting. It can actually be the perfect recipe or the perfect storm, whatever you want to call it. It can have all the ingredients that can really drain and deplete our energy. So there are real reasons why the holidays do this. And the good news is that there are science-backed strategies from positive psychology that can help you to make the holidays more joyful so you can flourish this holiday season. So there's science-backed strategies that can help you to infuse more joy into your holiday. There's also scientific reasons and research as to why we get so drained and depleted if we're not careful. So today I'm going to share with you four ways that you can experience more positive emotion and less stress over the holidays. So strategy number one is to manage your energy. So as I said, the holidays can be that perfect recipe for depleting your energy, and we often end up feeling stressed, harried, we're overindulging, overspending, we have too many obligations, too many expectations, perhaps we're trying to do everything perfectly. And so we really need to get conscious about our energy. And back when I first became a life coach, one of my favorite exercises, and this was from Cheryl Richardson, and that was about, and it could be used not just for the holidays, but any time in your life, to really get conscious about what depletes your energy, what drains you, and what replenishes your energy, and what fuels you or energizes you. I'd love for you to create a list that is holiday specific. So if you get a piece of paper and you just draw a line down the middle, and on the left side, write down the word deplete or drain. And on the right side, write the words replenish or energize. And as human beings, there's all sorts of things that deplete us, right? And so we have certain things that deplete us just psychologically, physically, pretty much all humans. It's standard that things, certain things deplete all of us. And then there are some things that are unique to our personality. So some of the things that drain most people, and a lot of this comes from the research around willpower by psychologist Roy Baumeister. And he actually has an excellent book called Willpower. And just a side note for you science geeks like me out there who like to know the research behind things. There are so many really funny experiments about how they test people's willpower, and they come up with all these creative ways. And I won't get into all those now, but it's, if you're interested, that book, Willpower, is great. And I'll put it in the show notes. So we all have this, if you think of a pool that's full at the beginning of the day, that's our willpower. So at the beginning of the day, we have a lot of willpower, which is why they say things like exercise in the morning, because that's when you have the most willpower. Or if you have something difficult you need to do, like difficult, the hardest thing on that you have to get done during the day, do it first, because that's when your willpower is the greatest and you have the most energy. So there's all sorts of things that happen during the holiday season that deplete our willpower, which also depletes our energy. For instance, decision-making. Every time we need to make a decision, it depletes our energy. And think about it. There's more decisions that we need to make during the holidays. Like, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? What days are we visiting family? What parties are we going to go to or host? What gifts? And who are we buying for? Who are we not buying for? Are we doing a Secret Santa this year or Secret Santa exchange? What? All those decisions that we need to make. And every time we make a decision, it drains us. The other thing, and it drains us and it depletes our energy. And I'm going to go through some of these. So with that list you have, you can maybe write down the things that deplete or drain your energy as well. Another thing that really drains our energy is resisting something. So for instance, if you say to yourself, okay, I don't want to overindulge, right? Whether it's food or drinks or sweets, whatever it is, that maybe you have told yourself or promised yourself you're not going to overindulge, or you're just going to, whatever it is, because we know it adds up over the holiday. If it's nice to have fun, but and think, oh, I'm going to enjoy all these treats. But then if you do that at every single holiday event, it starts to add up over time and not in a good way. So every time we resist a food or drink that we actually want and we have to resist it, that takes willpower. So that can drain our energy. Every time we have to use emotional regulation. And so again, willpower, it's that pool that's full at the beginning of the day that starts to drain or deplete over time. It's also another analogy is it's like your biceps, where you can only work out your biceps so much in one day. So same with emotional regulation. It's if you're trying to keep yourself, your emotions in check, that takes energy and that gets harder as the day goes on. And every time we start a new initiative, so every time we start something new, so, you know, maybe you go from work and then you need to stop by and get gifts and then you're going to a holiday party or you're getting your house ready to have people over, whatever it is, every time you start an initiative or something new, that drains your energy. So even these positive things we might be doing and have in our life, we have to remember that we do only have so much energy in a day. And every time we do these different things, our energy gets depleted. When you're looking at your energy, think about those things that go on the left side of your list. And as I said, as human beings, we do have these things that drain our energy. But then there's also things that are personality specific. So for instance, some people, they love going to holiday parties and events. And they would go to every single one, whatever they get invited to, they go. And they don't mind if they're out every other night and they love it. Whereas other people, if maybe it's more extroverted, they like lots of parties, I don't know. But if you're more introverted, it might be like, you know what, I can really only handle, for some people, they might only be able to handle a couple of engagements. And then they need to say no to everything else. So you really need to look at what it is for you. Or for some people, it brings them so much joy and so much energy to decorate their house. They love it. And for other people, it's a chore. And just look at what it is for you and the things that, based on your personality and your preferences, what drains you. So what might be draining to me might actually be energizing for you. Some other things that can deplete our energy, things like too much technology, things like not enough human contact, difficult relationships. So it's funny because we can say too much time alone and not enough human contact can be draining. But then depending on who you spend your time with, if you're spending time with someone that you have a difficult relationship with, that can also drain your energy. Stress can be draining. Pain, if you experience chronic pain or you're not feeling well, that can definitely drain your energy. Sleep deprivation, which this is the time of year where we're out, we're doing different things, we're busier, and so we're not getting as much sleep, but that can drain and deplete us. Sometimes there's different things going around and we can have a weakened immune system. That can be depleting. Multitasking, that is depleting. And so we might pride ourselves that we can do all these different things, but the research shows that it actually depletes us more when we're trying to do too many different things at once. So we're better to do one thing, complete the task, and then move on to the next thing. The other thing that can be really draining is just even, again, these can be positives in our life, but it just can deplete us, feeling pressure from family, friends, gift exchanges, the extreme consumption that happens this time of year. Even traditions can sometimes drain us or deplete us. And especially if we're just doing something because we've always done it, rather than questioning whether we actually still really enjoy that tradition. And then other things that are still happening, like we still have our day-to-day things that we're trying to do on top of. Now we're probably dealing with more bills, more traffic, longer lines, right? Every time you go to a store now, there's longer lines and just more people out and about. So we can have a lot of highs and a lot of lows during the holiday season. And so I want you to get really clear on what depletes you and drains you. And then think about what energizes you. So we want to counteract this list by looking at the things that bring us energy so we can get really conscious and really intentional about managing our energy over the holiday. So some of the things that can replenish and energize us include, and some of them are the opposites, getting enough sleep. So as opposed to not enough sleep, if you get more sleep, that's going to help to energize you. And you might even need extra sleep, right? With all the extra drains on our energy. Spending time in nature. And I know it's the time of year, like here where I live in Ontario, we've had a cold snap, right? The snow has started a little bit. I saw a few snowflakes this morning. And it's a time when we think, oh, I just want to be warm and I want to be cozy inside. And definitely that can replete us. But time in nature can really energize us as well. And so there's this really great Norwegian saying that I love because it's, and I think it's helpful for us when we're thinking about embracing winter. And so they say that there's no bad weather, only bad clothes. So I invite you to get yourself some good winter gear if you live here in Canada, where we get such cold, bitterly cold winters in Ontario. And get yourself a good warm coat and a cute hat and a scarf and really warm gloves and boots with a good tread that are warm. I know, and I have a lot of friends that really hate the cold. And I really do invite you to try and look at it in a bit of a different way, because I think if you can get out in nature and you can get out in that fresh air, the research shows that really does help to energize us. And then also the exercise is really great too. If you're out walking or hiking or snowshoeing or skiing and or skating, we have all these amazing winter sports. And so I invite you to embrace winter. And the holiday season is a really great time to do that, because maybe what you can do is see a friend and instead of going and, you know, sitting and eating and drinking, and maybe you go out for a nice walk together instead and catch up. So lots of different things you can do there. The other thing you can do to boost your energy is to induce positive emotions such as gratitude or kindness, savoring, celebrating, inviting more joy into your life, and really noticing when you're experiencing a joyful moment. And I mentioned being outside, but exercise, whether it's indoors or outdoors, exercise and exercising in the morning when your willpower is still high, that is a great way to boost your energy. And one of the things we often do, right, during the holidays is we think, I don't have time. I don't have time to exercise. And yet Gretchen Rubin, for instance, she's written the book, The Happiness Project and Better Than Before. And she talks about one of the best things you can do over the holidays is to keep the habits that you normally have. So keep those self-care habits like exercise in place. Don't let those fall off because it'll help you. And then it'll help you to have that extra energy. Food, right? What do we do during the holidays? As we said, we overindulge. But on the flip side, if we want to boost our energy, we want to have high protein, low sugar foods, and that really helps prevent us from crashing. So if we're having all those yummy cookies and treats all the time, we can really have that sugar crash and that can really deplete our energy. So whereas protein, high protein, that's going to help you keep your energy high with all the different activities that you have this time of year. Another way to replenish and energize yourself is laughter, spending time with others. And again, consciously choosing, right? So time with others can be on both sides of that chart. It can be draining to spend time with certain people. and it can be energizing. And this is what any time of the year, it's really good to pay attention to after you've spent time with someone. Because sometimes we think, and I remember when my kids were little and I was a young mom and I was at home with them when they were really little. And I remember thinking, oh, I just want to go see other moms and or like other people that, you know, are in the same boat as me. And sometimes I would go and I would have coffee or go to a mummy's group. And sometimes it would be great. And I would come home and I'd feel so replenished and I'd feel so energetic. And then other times I would come home and I would feel worse than when I went out. I would feel drained. And I would feel like, oh my goodness, we just talked for 2 hours. All I heard about was women complaining about their husbands and how hard life is. And which it's good to have friends that you can talk about that stuff with. Don't get me wrong, because that can be really energizing and can replenish your energy too, to really talk about what's going on. But I remember having to be really conscious about who I spent time with, that I actually could come home feeling really drained, depending on the people that I spent time with. So just be really conscious about, so definitely spend time with others, but be conscious that you're conscious, that you're, sorry, saying conscious a lot. Be mindful about who you're spending time with. Another thing you can do is practice mindfulness meditation. There's some great apps. There's Insight Timer. There's the Calm app, that you can go and you can listen to different meditations, and that can really help you to replenish your energy. The other thing you can do is to make decisions early. And what I'm talking about that, what I mean is, so for instance, something like overindulging or not getting enough sleep, if you're going out, to say to yourself, when I go to the party, I'll leave by such and such a time so I can make sure that I'm in bed in good time and get enough sleep. Or when I go to that party, I'm going to have a mocktail instead of alcohol because I know I won't sleep as well. Or when I go to the party, I'll have one cookie and I'll find the veggie tray, or I'll bring something healthy to the party, that so I don't overindulge on the things that aren't as healthy for me. And as I was saying, we often throw our self-care habits out the window during the holiday. And I know I'm guilty of this, but the more we can keep those self-care strategies in place, the better it's going to be for maintaining our energy. So that's number one. That's the number one strategy, is maintaining your energy. And if you want more on this, I did a whole episode, episode number 53, about, it's called Energy Reboot, How to Check and Boost Your Inner Battery with Jennifer Lyle. And we go through a whole slew of different, she shares all these different ideas about what you can do to boost your inner battery. Okay, so strategy one is managing your energy. Strategy number two is to focus on what's meaningful and important to you, to get really intentional and really conscious about how you're going to spend your holiday, how you're going to be during the holiday. So keep in mind, you get to decide how the holiday season is going to feel. You can feel empowered, or you can end the holiday feeling powerless and exhausted. The choice really is yours, believe it or not. And it took me a while to get this, and I'm still working on it, but I feel like I've gotten better over the years. So the holidays actually used to be really stressful for me. I used to try and create this magical Christmas. It was harder when the kids were younger, right? Trying to create this magical Christmas. And then also with little kids, there were a number of years where I was hosting both sides of the family. We had some Christmases, and it's tough because you love your family. And that's when I look at things that are so important to me during the holiday. It's to make sure I do spend time with family. And during COVID, when we didn't have time together, I missed everyone so much. And yet there were some years where we would host one side of the family and then they would leave like the morning of, let's say, I don't know, the 27th. And then literally 2 hours later, the other side of the family was coming and we would host them for a few days. And that hasn't happened too many years, but, and it still happens sometimes, But definitely when I had little kids and then we were having days and days of hosting, it was stressful. And I was taking on a lot myself. And I've learned over the years to manage my energy better. And there were some holidays where by New Year's Eve, I didn't want to go out anywhere. I didn't want to do anything. I would just be like, nobody talk to me. I just need to sit, you know, quietly and not go anywhere, not do anything, not do any hosting. And I was really drained and really exhausted. And fortunately, I'm not doing that anymore. But I did have many years where I was like that. And I think, again, there was still joyful, don't get me wrong, but I realized that after some times when I was feeling that way, I would think something's got to change. Like, this isn't right. I can't be this drained and this depleted at the end of the holiday. That's not what it's about. And last year, for instance, I'm so proud of myself because we actually ordered in Christmas dinner, which is something I never would have done other years. But when we had my family, I said, what about if we order in dinner? And everyone was so quick to say yes. And everyone chipped in and it was amazing. So there are definitely different ways that you can do the holiday. There's ways that can be so draining and so depleting and so stressful, and other ways that can be really positive. So sometimes based on your own expectations of yourself or society's expectations, maybe, you know, watching movies where everything's picture perfect or looking at magazines, we think that we put this pressure on ourselves to create this Pinterest-worthy Christmas or holiday. And often what we do is we say to ourselves, this is what I have to do. This is the expectation. And we think we have no choice. What I invite you to do is to think, this is what I want to do, or this is what I get to do, and really get clear on what it is that you want to do. And to realize that you don't have to do all the things that you think you have to do. And sometimes I think we're comparing ourselves to maybe the type of holiday that your grandmother would put on. And think about it, like sometimes we are comparing yourself to maybe someone who, maybe it was a community and all the women got together and they were creating something, but they weren't trying to do it all on their own. And they had other people's help and they had more time. And so we're trying to maybe recreate this image or create this even image that isn't even real. And so just to be really, really think about what it is that you want versus what you think is expected of you. And there's this really fun activity that I have done with when at the different holiday tea events I've done. And this is a fan favorite and I can't take credit for it. This is actually from Susan Hyatt. And basically it's like you take a list, and so it's like a yes, no list, but she makes it way more fun. And so she calls it your ho ho hell no list. And so again, you take a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle, and on the left side, that's your yes side. So these are all the things you want to say yes to. And remember, every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. So make sure that the things on your yes list are really what you want. So this is your dream holiday season. This is the list of the things that you do want to experience over the holidays on that left side, the yes side. Then on the right side of your list, this is your no side, or in this case, according to Susan Hyatt, she calls it hell no or heck no, whatever you want to call it. So this is the no thank you, not anymore, the list of the things you do not want to do and the things you do not want to experience over the holidays. And I invite you to take some time to do this because, and even though I have been doing this activity for many years now, it changes each year. It might be a little bit different. So I've been tweaking it over the years. And so a couple things that can help you with this is, first of all, to think, what is it that you really value? What do you value over the holidays? So for me, I value family. I value having meaningful connections. I value having one-on-one time and getting updates on what's happening in everyone's lives. I value fun and laughter, just being together and hanging out. So think about what it is that you value during the holiday season. The next question before you do this, oh, hell no list, is to think about how do you want to feel this holiday season? So for me, and sometimes it's easier to think about how you don't want to feel and then flip it to the opposite. I know I don't want to feel rushed, stressed. Like I don't want to feel rushed. I don't want to feel stressed. I don't want to feel harried. I know. So what's the flip side of that? I want to feel calmed. I want to feel peaceful. I want to feel happy and grounded. I don't want to feel exhausted and drained and feeling like I felt sometimes on New Year's Eve where I've got nothing left to give. I want to feel end my year feeling strong and feeling rejuvenated and fulfilled, feeling emotionally fulfilled and feeling like I do still have gas in the tank. I do still have energy and not so depleted. I want to feel love. I want to feel connection. I want to feel joy. Filled. And as I said earlier, I want to feel calm, peaceful, grounded, and happy over the holidays. So think about what it is for you, what you want to feel. And if you do, that can really help you with this, what you're saying yes to list and the hell no, what you're saying no to. So I actually just did this for myself for this year. And just a few things that are on my what I'm saying yes to list. One of the things that I really want to make sure I have time to do this year is to, in the morning, what I love to be able to do is to curl up in a chair in front of the fireplace with a blanket and with my journal and a cup of my favorite tea and just have some time in the morning where I just sit and write in my journal. And in our family room, we've already put up our Christmas tree. That is one of our favorite holiday traditions. And for the past 26 years, actually, we have been getting a real tree. And so we've already put up our tree. It's decorated with all these really meaningful ornaments. I know some people love the Pinterest worthy, Instagram worthy tree that has all the matching decorations. Our tree has, over the years, we've had, depending on what the kids had going on, we had different ornaments that we would buy based on what they did that year. So we have all these really cool ornaments. So when I look at my tree, it just makes me feel really happy. And I just love having this real tree, the smell of the real tree. And so yeah, some time in the morning where I can just sit and sometimes just think, right? Just look at the fire, look at the tree. It sounds very self-indulgent. I tell you, it's just a beautiful way to start my day. And I have had a journal. I've been a journaler for many years. I had my very first journal in grade 5. I'll have to do an episode on journaling at some point. But for me, starting the day, writing in my journal really helps me to feel grounded. And I just think during the holiday season, if I can just take that time in the morning to just really have that personal time and yeah, just to be really cozy in the morning by the fire, by the tree, that is something that is definitely on my what I'm saying yes to list. And another thing, I will out myself that I love watching Hallmark Christmas movies, Hallmark holiday movies. And I know the countdown to Christmas has already started. And yes, I know they're cheesy. And yes, I know they all have the exact same plot. But I don't know what it is about these Hallmark movies, but I just love them. And it's just a fun way for me during the holiday season. I just think it's really fun to have the time and space to just sit and again, cozy up under a blanket and watch these movies and laugh because it's always, always the same plot. But, and sometimes the same actors, right? You see the same actors showing up in the different ones. Anyway, so that's another thing that I love to do. And then one other thing that I really, really enjoy doing over the holidays is playing board games with my family. And that's something that I make sure that when we have time together that we have these different games we like to play. And if you have any favorite family games, you have to let me know what they are. But yeah, we have a few favorites and I just love having that time to play games over the holidays. So I'm going to make sure that I have time to do that again this year. So I have more things on my list, but those are just to give you a few ideas, just so you can, to get you going with your own list, what's important to you what's part of your dream holiday season and what's on your ho list. Okay, the second part of that list is your hell no list. And so this is what, again, this is what you're not going to do anymore. These are the things that you don't want to do and you don't want to experience during the holidays. And these are things that may have been on your yes list. For instance, I used to love doing holiday cards. I had a whole routine. I would pick out the perfect card. I would, oh my goodness, in October, I would get the kids' pictures taken for the holiday card. And I would sit with my eggnog and I'd play Christmas carols and I would address all these cards and I'd write little notes to everybody. And it was something I really treasured and really loved to do. And then over the years, I started to realize that this thing that I used to love to do started, instead of feeling like an I get to or I want to do it, it started to feel like I was dreading it. Oh boy, I've got to get those Christmas cards done. I've got to get those addresses, got to handwrite all these cards. And here in Canada, it's like the price of stamps started to get ridiculous. And then it's, oh, you're thinking about the paper and the planet and all of this. And then suddenly it was like, you know what? I'm not going to do my cards anymore. I may pick it up again now that my kids are older. But I have to say, I haven't missed it, although I do sometimes feel it was a way to stay connected, and especially with my relatives in England. And so that part I find is a little bit hard to give up. And I also notice now I'm not getting as many cards. So I don't know if it's because other people have stopped sending holiday cards as well, or if people were just sending me a card because I sent them one. And then I think, oh, maybe people weren't even loving my cards. Maybe they just felt this sense of obligation that they have to return the card. Anyway, lots to say about that. But for now, I have decided that is on my no list. I am not doing holiday cards. Another thing that is on my hell no list is a cookie exchange. So if you love cookie exchanges, that's great. And if that's on your heck yes list, your ho yes list, go for it. Enjoy your cookie exchange. Just please don't invite me to it. I won't be offended. I do not want to make a gazillion dozen cookies to hand out and then get a whole bunch of cookies back. I did it 1 year and I will never do it again. It did not bring me joy. So again, this is a personality thing for that one, but I'm definitely not into doing the cookie exchange. The other thing that I think is really tough is having too many commitments. And I have to be careful with this one because I think it's really wonderful to be invited to different things. And I know it's a blessing. And I know that isn't always the case. And some years there's more invitation. Definitely when the kids were younger, there was way more going on than now. But I remember there was 1 year when the kids were younger and oh my goodness. And maybe some of you are in it right now. And it was like every time you turned around, it's like they were doing Secret Santas, like every club they were part of, there was a Secret Santa. Then there was all the teacher gifts and all the coaches' gifts. And then there was the holiday party for every single thing that the kids were part of. And I only had 2 kids, right? So I can't imagine for people with bigger families. And it just felt like we had all these engagements. And I remember her calling my friend one day and I was like, I've got this and I've got that. And I was complaining. And she was like, Brenda, take a minute here. You know, you should feel grateful for, you have a lot of wonderful things going on. And so again, I want to be careful that yes, I'm grateful. And yet you can actually have too much of a good thing. There can be too many things going on. And if you try to go to everything and be part of every single thing that's happening during the holidays, especially if you've got young kids where there's plenty of things going on, that can just take so much energy. So what I do now is I'm really mindful about the Christmas engagements. And again, not as many now that the kids are older, but I really am careful to ask myself, you know, can I do this? And I still struggle with this. I still struggle with overextending myself. I struggle with making too many commitments. And so I'm working at that. But definitely on my no list is to overextend myself and to do too many things. And so I really am, you know, trying to limit the number of activities that I do, especially during the month of December. And it's okay to put something off to until January. You don't have to get together with everyone. And we just because it's December, we don't have to see everybody. Really, there's only 4 weekends, right? And one of them is already gone. So you have to pick and choose what you're going to do so that you don't deplete yourself. Okay, so that is what I would love for you to do. So manage your energy, do a list of what drains you, what depletes you, and do a list of what energizes you. And then do that list. I really think it's just so much fun. And in the past, when I've done this in groups of women, they absolutely love writing these lists, and the conversations that ensue are, you know, actually sometimes they're really hilarious when people talk about the things that they used to do that now they no longer do. And now they sometimes look back and say, I can't believe I did all that. And they laugh at themselves a little bit because they realize how much they were trying to take on. Okay, so my third tip for having more positive emotion so you can flourish this holiday is to trade expectation for appreciation. And what I mean by this, there's a couple parts to this. So one is to have reasonable expectations and avoid comparing. And so again, not trying to do this, have this perfect Pinterest-worthy Christmas holiday season, but to actually have reasonable expectations of yourself and to have reasonable expectations of others. And one strategy that I really love is to notice the good. And so to become a detective of finding the good things that are going on around you. So let's say you're going to a holiday party or a family gathering. And so rather than maybe focus on that relative that irritates you, or maybe the food wasn't very good, whatever it is, look for the strengths in the people around you. So look for their strengths or notice what's good. Like maybe the decor is really beautiful, and just take the time to look for the good around you, because we do have that negativity bias where we look for the negative. And sometimes we even plan for the negative, right? We're saying, oh, I've got this event again this year. So-and-so's going to say this, and I know this is going to happen. And they're going to serve that food I don't like or can't eat or whatever it is, right? So we almost go in preparing to not enjoy ourselves as opposed to flipping things around and looking for the good. And part of this is also practicing gratitude. And there's so much amazing research out there on gratitude. And we can't control things that are happening in the world right now. We can't control what other people do either, but we can control what we choose to focus on. And this doesn't mean that we shut out the negative. We might have negative thoughts, or we might have, let's say, sad feelings, especially if this is your first Christmas without somebody that you love, right? That can be really tough. So we can acknowledge our negative or difficult emotions or unpleasant emotions, but then we can also redirect our focus back to what we have that makes us feel grateful. Again, we want to be careful with this, that we're not jumping to, oh, you should be grateful, right? Or I shouldn't feel sad because I have so much to feel grateful for. That again, it's okay to feel the negative or sad or uncomfortable emotions, but then to also say, okay, what is it that I'm grateful for? And that can really help to shift your mood and shift you out of that negativity bias. There was a study done at the University of Pennsylvania in 2012, where they proved that one of the greatest things that you can do, one of the greatest factors of overall happiness, is how much gratitude someone shows. So the more we have gratitude in our lives, it actually can increase our health, it can increase our life satisfaction, our relationships, it increases our optimism, And so if you take the time to think about what are you most grateful for this holiday season, and think about how you can express that gratitude in your life, or maybe keep a gratitude journal over the season just to help keep you out of that negativity bias and to keep your focus on the positive and inducing positive emotion in your life, then I highly recommend that as a strategy. Okay. And last but not least, I would suggest that you practice intentional acts of kindness. And again, this can be a little bit overwhelming, I know, because there are so many great causes out there and things that we can be part of. And to think about what it is that's near and dear to your heart. And there are so many different holiday food and toy drives out there. And if you don't want to spend money this holiday season, there's opportunities for volunteering. So maybe you can go and help out at the food bank, or go and help put together care packages for people who are less fortunate and do something like that, or even just on your own to practice intentional acts of kindness on a daily basis. And so one of the things I like to do during the holiday season, and part of it is you have to feel in a pretty good place yourself to do this, but sometimes even if you're not feeling great and you do, it can really help, is that when I'm in the stores, and so, you know, you look around, right, and people are pretty stressed out, especially the closer it gets to the holiday. And I intentionally do things like let someone go ahead of me. If somebody looks stressed, I'll say, oh, you know what, you go ahead. Or opening the door for people, or looking at people and smiling, and just trying to be courteous and kind to other people. Because I think, as they say, a little bit of kindness can go a long way. And so sometimes just going out and saying to yourself, you know what, today I'm not going to add to all the stress and everything that's going on. I'm actually going to infuse some kindness and some joy into other people's lives. So that's something that you could do. And it doesn't cost any money, right? You can open the door for people and just go out and just be kind, or think about the people working in the different stores, just to take a moment and see them as the human being that they are, because so many people that work in service, they just feel invisible. And so taking that time to maybe say something, maybe make them smile, ask them how their day is going, or even comment and say, oh my goodness, you're so busy and you're doing a great job, or whatever it is, just those little acts of kindness, it's going to help the other person. It's going to make you feel better. And the other thing they've shown, research shows, that if somebody witnesses that act of kindness, then it makes them want to pay it forward. It makes them want to be kind as well. So even the person that you let go in line in front of you, they're more likely to then go out and do something kind. Or even someone that witnesses the exchange that isn't part of it, they're more likely to go out and be kind when they see other people practicing intentional acts of kindness. So I recommend that. And part of kindness is gift giving, right? And yet, I just want to mention one more thing that I think is a really important finding in positive psychology. And that is that there's something called hedonic adaptation, where when we get something new, we have that little lift of excitement, right? Oh, I got this new shiny thing. But after a while, you get used to it, right? So that's that hedonic adaptation. Like, you adapt to the new things. This isn't a Christmas gift, but or a holiday gift, but just think if you get a new car, right? And you pick it up and you have that new car smell and it's exciting at first. And then after a while, it just is that thing that gets you from point A to point B, right? Anything that is something new, yes, it's exciting at first, but we get used to it. And what they have found, the research shows, that we actually, if we want more lasting happiness, if we spend our money on experiences rather on things, that actually brings longer lasting happiness. So, not to add pressure to you, but if you're thinking about a gift, think about maybe it's creating an experience. So maybe instead of doing a gift exchange, you say, hey, let's go ice skating together and have hot chocolate, or let's have a meal out together. Let's go get theater tickets. Let's do something that gives us a shared experience. And what that will do is it actually can increase your well-being more than material possessions do. So something to think about. And I know gift giving can bring a lot of joy as well. So it's not to say not to do that, but I invite you to really, you know, challenge yourself to think about Can you create a memorable experience that you could share with someone else and really get creative with it? And maybe even talk to people and say, hey, what about if instead of exchanging gifts this year, what about if we do something neat? Something I've always wanted to do, and I haven't yet figured out how to do it because there's not always enough snow that time of year. But one idea is go on a sleigh ride. I just think that would be so fun to book a horse-drawn sleigh ride or something and do that with a group of people. I think that would just be so fun and just such a magical experience. Or even if you book it, I'm just thinking as I'm talking here, book it now and then in January or February when there's a little bit more snow to go on a sleigh ride. Although it does feel more like a holiday thing to do. And maybe that's because I've been watching too many Hallmark Christmas movies. Now I'm thinking about going on a sleigh ride. But anyway, just some food for thought. And so I hope these different ideas help you to infuse more positive emotion and joy into your holiday so you can flourish. And just a reminder, those four things are to manage your energy. The second one is to focus on what is meaningful and important to you. So getting really intentional and really conscious about your holiday. The third is to practice gratitude. And the fourth is, So just to recap, the four strategies to infuse more positive emotion into your holiday so you can flourish this holiday season is to, one, manage your energy. So think about what depletes you and drains you and what energizes you and replenishes you. The second one is to focus on what's meaningful and important to you and to get really intentional and really conscious about your holiday and creating that ho and hell no list. The third is to trade expectation for appreciation and practice gratitude. And the last one is to practice intentional acts of kindness. So I wish you a flourishing holiday. And one last thing I'll leave you with is, again, with expectations, realize that just like with anything in life, there's going to be those positive experiences and there's going to be a few hiccups along the way. And just to realize that's life, right? Whether it's the holiday season or any time of year, and to not get too attached to creating a perfect holiday. Just to really enjoy yourself and enjoy the season and practice self-care. Thank you so much and have a wonderful holiday.
Thanks for listening to the She Flourishes podcast. I hope this episode has inspired you to keep on creating the flourishing life you deserve. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend who would benefit from it. And remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you're listening. To learn more about how you can live a flourishing life, head over to brendajasmine.com or follow me on Instagram at _brendajasmine. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, keep on sharing your gifts with the world. See you soon.